Hello and welcome to SearchVB.com's latest podcast. This is site editor Brian Eastwood. I am here with two of the three authors of the upcoming ASP.NET Ajax in Action book. The first of the two authors is David Barkle. He is a senior consultant at Neudesic. He has lots of experience with ASP.NET, web services, Windows Forms, SQL Server, and C# development. Hello, David.
Hi.
And also on the line is Ramakrishna Vavilala, who is a senior software developer and architect at 3C Software. He's currently designing an Ajax web application using ASP.NET Ajax, which will be part of the Impact ECS suite of products that 3C Software develops. Hello, Rama.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to thank both of you for taking the time to chat with us today about your book and also about ASP.NET Ajax, which is, I think, one of the hottest topics on SearchVB.com and is something that's of interest to a lot of people. The first question I wanted to get to you guys was what it is that separates web development with ASP.NET Ajax from, you know, normal or typical web development with ASP.NET?
Oh, well, what it all comes down to in the end is really just the user experience. And that's the main objective when you take an Ajax approach is you just want to essentially take away some of the unnecessary postbacks or kind of subdue them so they're not as overbearing to the user. And you kind of just want to add a little more interactivity, some personality, something they can customize. And that's really what it's all about.
Okay. Rama, anything to add?
Yeah. One thing about Ajax development is that, like, it's far more different than the regular web development in many different situations. Like most of the, like, in a normal web application, like, the amount of JavaScript you write is far less than the amount of JavaScript probably you'll use in an Ajax application.
Oh, okay.
It may be anywhere between 10 to 20 times the regular web development code. For example, like, I've been trying to convert a regular regular web application to Ajax web application, and my code base is now probably about 20 times than that of the regular, that old web client. That, of course, we have got several code base, so we have to follow the same kind of discipline, same kind of programming paradigm which we normally follow on the server side, right?
Okay.
We have to resort to object-oriented JavaScript programming, and of course, like, we have to implement all those techniques like refactoring and everything in for JavaScript too.
Okay.
So in that way, it's far more challenging.
Okay. Is that where toolkits like ASP.NET Ajax come in, that they kind of help you through that process of conversion and just kind of getting everything together?
Yeah. So basically, the Microsoft Ajax library provides a lot of object-oriented constructs on top of JavaScript. So that's where the Microsoft-based Ajax library comes into picture. The toolkit, the controls in the toolkits are very much useful, like, when you want to, like, Ajax is just not about network transfer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something after the data has been transferred over the network, and then maybe you have to show some effects to the user. Let's say you have got a grid view, and then you are trying to insert a record in a grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order for the user to know that he correctly inserted the record, after you have to show some kind of indication, right?
Mm-hmm.
This can be some kind of animation. This can be some kind of a flash. For the current row may flash a little bit, so that the user may know that yes, it has they have updated it successfully. At the same time, if they did not update it successfully, they should get an error message or something as an effect. So, I mean, all those things are, I mean, so the toolkit provides a lot of controls like that. For example, there's a control called modal dialog box control in the toolkit, which uses plain HTML to simulate a modal dialog.
Okay. What is it that kind of makes ASP.NET Ajax different from the other toolkits and frameworks that are out there? What are, you know, the advantages of using it, and then what are, you know, I guess, some of the limitations that developers may encounter when they're using it?
Okay. What makes it unique is that it spans across both the client and the server. So, like Rama said, you have this rich set of JavaScript libraries where it saves you a lot of code for object-oriented programming with constructs like inheritance, namespaces, and other object constructs. But also on the server, you have server controls and services that integrate with ASP.NET services that have a very small footprint, like the update panel. If you ever applied the update panel to a grid view or to a web page, it's as simple as just a couple lines of markup, and the rest of the work is done for you. So that's pretty nice. That's efficient. Saves you a lot of code. Some of the disadvantages are that while it's so rich, there is a lot to know and a lot to learn. So you need a good book, like ASP.NET Ajax in Action, and you need to just dive in and become familiar with both the client and the server. Ajax is no longer just on the client. That's the way it originally was created, but now it's kind of moving towards some server stuff with the server controls like the update panel and the script manager. So there's a little bit of a learning curve, and with all its richness, it's also a little bit larger in its size. So that's also something to consider.
But most programmers are nothing if not willing to try new things and get dive deep into something new, so shouldn't be a hurdle for anybody.
Definitely, and the advantages and the things you get in return far outweigh the learning curve and the risk involved. It's very lightweight. It's lightweight in the footprint on the page, and it's actually not as hard as it seems. The whole point of a framework is to make things easier for you, so that's why you would use ASP.NET Ajax.
Anything that you'd like to add, Rama?
So I agree with David. I mean, one of the thing about ASP.NET Ajax is that, like, it's extremely simple to use, and especially the update panel control. At the same time, because it is extremely simple to use, I've seen people using it in the wrong way. Like, stuff where the Ajax, where they're not supposed to use Ajax, people are trying to use Ajax. Yep. And sometimes, like, people have got all these questions about like performance being not very good, and most of the times, like, we narrow it down that they are using Ajax where they are not actually supposed to use Ajax, or they are using it in the wrong way. Like, they are putting the entire control there. They are putting everything in one update panel control, and stuff like that. I mean, so you need to also know, like, how to properly apply Ajax. And to get the benefits of Ajax, and this ASP.NET Ajax in Action book will, we have not only covered, like, how to use ASP.NET Ajax, but, like, we are also covering different topics, like, what is the proper way to use this, whether Ajax really makes sense to use in a particular situation. So when designing this application, so one has to be aware of all different, one has to be, like, thoroughly aware of what they are actually trying to do, and then evaluate all the different options correctly before jumping into the Ajax development.
Yeah.
So ultimately, what matters is, like, whether the user experience is.
Yeah, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, because then, you know, you run into that performance issue you talked about. Okay.
So, and one of the thing in which, like, ASP.NET Ajax differs from most other Ajax development frameworks, like, I've been using the one of the most popular JavaScript framework for Ajax development is, like, Prototype.
Okay.
It's just a single JavaScript file, but it's very extremely powerful. And then there's another called jQuery.
Okay.
Now, you'll find that most of these are just client-side JavaScript frameworks. But ASP.NET Ajax goes one level more than, like, it. Support, like, it has got both client side and the server side framework, and both of them interact pretty well. So in short, like, if you are developing for ASP.NET Ajax is quite a, like, is a very great option for you.
One of the things you had mentioned was ASP.NET Ajax controls, and also the ASP.NET Ajax control toolkit. I was wondering if both of you could just kind of take a little bit of time to basically explain what that is and let people know how they can build their own controls, because that's one of the main points of emphasis, it seems, for Microsoft, is letting people add on to this in pretty much in any way that they want to.
Okay. I think one of the greatest things about ASP.NET Ajax is that they brought in the community, not just by, you know, normal forums, but they've created this thing called the Ajax Control Toolkit, where they've let non-Microsoft developers contribute to a project on CodePlex.com, where you can build components on top of the framework to extend the behavior and the interaction of existing controls on the page. So that's a pretty powerful notion, to be able to take, for example, a text box and add an autocomplete behavior to it with just a few lines of markup. In a nutshell, that's kind of what the Ajax Control Toolkit is all about, enhancing existing controls, adding extra behaviors and components that would have probably taken you a lot of time to write on your own. And in my opinion, the best part is that it's from the community. People are able to contribute to this, and that's truly what a framework is. If you think about, in general, what is a framework? It's something that involves the community. It's not just Microsoft pushing out some product and saying, here, just use it. It's something that people can contribute to, that can grow over time. And if you're going to end up using ASP.NET Ajax, you're going to end up using the toolkit. It's just, there's so many powerful controls in there, like Rama said, the modal dialogue. And it's just now, I don't know how many there are, Rama. There's a lot in there right now. Yeah, it's just too powerful to ignore. And it's just, it will save you so much time.
Yeah, it is very robust. And I know, I think every time I go to that site, it looks like I see something new there. So, definitely a lot to... definitely a lot to see within the toolkit. And one of the things also from the recent release of ASP.NET Ajax was that Microsoft is also bringing up the source code as well. What are the implications for developers when the source code for this is released? How is that going to affect what they do? How is it make things better or worse in either way?
So for me, that the release of the source code has been extremely welcome addition. So normally, when you try to figure out something, why certain thing does not work, and you want to know how you should approach to solve a particular problem. And sometimes you're surprised, something you would expect that it will work, and for some strange reason, it gives you some error or something. So in all those cases, I had to, for .NET development, I mostly resort to the .NET Reflector by Les Roeder.
And trying
to figure out, trying to think how the stuff are actually working. But the source code release has been pretty good. You can even step into the ASP.NET Ajax source code, and I try to, and you can clearly see why certain things, what mistakes you may be doing, and what are the, how you should call the function, what are you doing incorrect in that, so all those things are pretty much clear now. So I think this, adding this, with the providing the source code has been extremely useful, at least for me. And as far as the JavaScript source code is concerned, of course it's always available. So in all, I think that providing the source code has been a pretty, that's been extremely useful. So initially I started developing for Windows in MFC. And one of the great thing about MFC was that the source code was always available. So I love the fact that the source code for ASP.NET Ajax is also available.
Right. That's cool. David, anything to add there?
It definitely helps you understand how things work under the hood. When you're trying to extend something, or if you come across an issue and you don't know why it's not working, one thing that was really helpful is seeing the source. For example, just the other week, I was trying to do something in the wrong time in the page lifecycle, and I didn't understand why, or if I was doing it in the wrong event, maybe too early or too late. I was able to step through the source code, and I realized right away that, I cannot do this before the init event or the load event. So providing the source code, it just adds a lot of value for developers who are, I would say, power developers, who really want to know what's going on under the hood, or looking to extend and really get the most out of the framework. So it was a very smart move on their part. Nice marketing move as well, But overall, I think it helps the developers understand how things work, which is ultimately the goal.
Okay. So it's a good segue there. Speaking of understanding how things work, I was hoping you guys could take – I know you touched a little bit upon what your book covers, but I was hoping you kind of go into a little bit more depth on sort of the focus of your book and, you know, a little bit about structure or anything like that, and what, you know, basically the main gist of ASP.NET Ajax in action is for the reader.
Well, it's tough when you try to write a book for the masses. You know, you have, you don't know who's going to pick it up. You have your beginning ASP.NET developers, and you have the advanced, and you don't want to discourage either. But at the same time, you have to kind of lean towards one, at least in my opinion. What we try to do is we broke it up into three sections where in the beginning we cover the basics. And in general, most developers might not even go past part one. But even with part one, you have a strong grasp of where to begin, and you can immediately jump into creating production code. But if you want to master the Ajax, ASP.NET Ajax, the rest of the sections in the book really dig under the hood and tell you what's the best practice, when you should use this and when you shouldn't, how to create your own Ajax control toolkit, control. All those things are, you know, for the more experienced developer. So we try to get that balance. It's always a, it's probably a very common challenge for every book, for many book authors. And I think we try to look for that balance, but we definitely lean towards, I think towards the middle, maybe we try to accommodate some of the advanced developers as well. We assume you have to know a little bit of ASP.NET, even though we do a little bit of hand-holding. You know, we explain what a postback is, but we're not going to give you a ton of pages on installation. You know, some books you buy in the first chapter is about how to install it. They give you screenshots, and they've taken up 20 pages. You know, we don't think you need to see that.
Yeah.
You can go online and see all that, and we just want to get you started and become efficient with the framework.
That sounds great. Rama, do you have anything to add there?
Yeah. We constantly monitor the forums also, the ASP.NET Ajax forums, where people ask all kind of questions about ASP.NET Ajax, about what kind of problems they're encountering. And like, so based on all those things, like we have included most of the common common solutions to common problems in our book. And we've got a lot of simple code. We've got a lot of simple code for understanding the concept. And we also have some advanced code so that people can, based on real life scenario, which people can use in the real life world too. So the book contains a lot of code examples.
Yeah, that'll make a lot of developers very happy, I think. You know, aside from taking a look at your book, what are some other suggestions you might have for developers who want to get started with ASP.NET Ajax? You know, sort of, you know, sites to turn to or, you know, places to go for you know, additional information or hints?
The forums are the best place. I would download the, obviously, the extensions, install them, and the forums are very active from team members as well as people like us. It's very rare that you come across a problem and someone's not trying to help you out and try to learn and resolve it. I know everyone who's been a part of the forums has had nothing but positive things.
Very good.
So, of course, there's the main site where there's some tutorials for the very, very beginners. But once you start digging deep, the documentation is on the online is okay. You're going to want to go into the forums to really dig deep and understand what's, if there are bugs, what's going on, and how to come up with more complex solutions.
Okay. Rama?
Yeah, I would also recommend a few blogs, like by team members, whom you can, people can follow, like Bertrand Delroy, like he's a developer, he has got a pretty good blog, Scott Guthrie has a pretty good blog, and Nikhil Kothari is an architect, he has also a pretty good blog, so like, there are a few good blogs about ASP.NET Ajax, which is by Ajax, the team itself, which you can...
I visit all those blogs on a regular basis. I can affirm there's a lot of information on there, particularly Scott. You know, just posting all kinds of stuff on there. They want everybody to be able to do, you know, basically as much as they possibly can with everything that they possibly can. So it is a very active community, and it's very, very open to sharing. Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, David and Rama. I really appreciate your insight. And do you guys have a time frame? Do you know when the book may be coming out for folks in the audience?
Great question. We know tech ed is a big time of year. We're going to try to reach that milestone. It might be a little bit after that, but we're very close to complete. But actually, what's the great thing about our publisher is that there's an early access program right now where you can get early access to the chapters, provide feedback if there's something we did inaccurately or maybe we should talk about more. Then it's a great time where we can still make changes and you can get early access to the chapters. So even though you might not have the hard copy in your hand, you can actually get the content way before it actually is printed. Even I think today, actually, it became available on the site. So you can have chapter one for free and you can get the first three chapters if you pre-order now. And I think, I don't know how often it happens, but it's pretty often we'll be releasing more chapters. So you'll get the book in electronic format
That's very cool.
But in printed format, I think it takes a while to print and, you know, go through all those motions.
Well, that's good to hear, and I will certainly, on the landing page for this podcast, we'll point folks over to the page for the book and to any other pertinent information that you guys have talked about in this podcast, the prominent bloggers, the ASP.NET Ajax page itself, and you know, the toolkit and some, you know, any other pertinent information that you can find. So thanks again for joining us for this podcast on searchvb.com. And this is Brian Eastwood signing off.